Blog Talk Radio.
Great show on Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, every Thursday we have a format with me and Pam where we bring on a guest and talk about what it's like, what the work they do, what it is that they're doing in this world. And really excited as we have a great guest lined up for this evening. If you want to find out more about this radio show and all the other different radio shows that are aired on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to the website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'd like to ask Pam to come on and talk about her new radio network that she just set up and how you can find her shows and everything, because we're really excited about that.
Well, thank you, Mark. That's really so nice. And, you know, last Monday night, when I closed the show on the Spiritual Connections Radio, Secrets of the Soul, and I announced it was starting on the new station, I don't know if you heard it. I said thank you to Mark Rawson, because he taught me what I knew about radio, and he's been such a wonderful support and such an amazing friend through all these months. And thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
The station itself is called Pamela Latour Radio. It's not a very inventive name, but it's easy to find. We've got several shows going on right now. Secrets of the Soul, which is an older show that transferred to this new station. We have a show called Insights and Umbrellas with Dr. Kelly Brady and myself that is a very different, very kind of quirky, funny, insightful, interesting show about current events and quantum physics and psychology and kind of a mix of ancient medicine and all of those things. And really worth seeing that every Thursday morning at 9. And there's lots of other shows happening. We're kind of a sister station to Spiritual Connections. And Mark has a page, I think, set up on Spiritual Connection, so you can go and find out a little bit about this and connect to Pamela Latour Radio. So thanks, Mark, for the opportunity to let me tell everyone. And
I'm really excited about that. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about our guest tonight. This man, I just met him a few minutes ago on the show, and it looks as though it's going to be a wonderful show. His name is Stephen Benny Benedict. I think most everyone calls him Benny, and I'm going to let him tell you about himself, because it seems like such an amazing, beautiful life this man is leading, and what he's offering people seems fascinating. So I'll turn it over to Benny. Are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be. Yeah, it's great to have you on, Benny. It's very interesting. I'll share a story with everybody. I had met Benny a while ago. Me and my friend Rockney were actually searching for someone to to do some work with when we were going to be out in Sedona. And it was funny, I called all over and talked to all my resources around the world, and, you know, I was getting references from everybody. And, you know, no matter what we did, we would get all these references for people we could work with, but we couldn't find anybody. We kept on, you know, hitting dead ends, you know, which is funny how sometimes in spirituality things work out this way, you know, that you kind of get put on the path where you need to be. And we were going to stay at the Enchantment Resort, which is a really beautiful resort in Sedona. And we called them and said, you know, we really want to work with somebody who knows the land, who really knows how to put together, you know, a great experience. I'm not looking for those, you know, get in the back of a Jeep with nine people and go around the sand and just stare at things, you know. And, you know, really was looking for a great custom experience. And and the resort is like, well, we got this friend, you know, that we use all the time. His name's Benny. And, you know, we'll have to see if we can find him because he's always trekking somewhere around the world, and we don't know where he is right now. So, so I called him up, and I didn't get any answer back. It was a couple of days, and I was like, all right, well, that looks like another dead end. And then, you know, just when I was about to make another phone call, he calls, and he goes, yeah, I'm back. Just got back from, you have to remind me, Benny, was it like 16 Japanese boys in the Grand Canyon on a canoeing adventure or something like that?
I think I had just gotten back from my annual trip with Hawaiian sixth graders. I had 16 Hawaiian sixth graders, and each May I get a group from Hawaii, and we have an absolutely wonderful week of hiking and horseback riding and a little of everything every single day. So that's what I believe I just returned from.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, we were like, all right, so that's definitely the type of person I want to be able to connect with. And, you know, we were kind of like, all right, so, you know, how does this work? And Benny's like, well, I don't know. You'll have to come out here. We'll get together. And I customize the tours and everything for each individual. And I was like, wow, now I know I really got the right connection. And basically, me and my friend Rockney went out there. Benny came out and picked us up in Phoenix and drove us down to Sedona, which I thought was amazing. You know, we had only signed up to use him for, you know, these other quest, you know, experiences that we wanted. And here he was kind of going out of his way to drive all the way up to Phoenix and pick us up. And we had such a great talk with him and the ride, you know, down to Sedona. You know, had a great adventure during the weekend. He introduced us out to some of the tribal lands. You know, I like to brag when I talk to people and say that, you know, one of the things I think is so incredible about Benny is the fact that he has relationships with so many Native American tribes all over the country. So, you know, if you're looking for those types of experiences, this is the type of person who has the connections. Because if you're familiar with doing anything like that, you normally can't get onto those tribal lands because, you know, they just don't want outsiders in, and you really have to have that connection. And, you know, it just turned out to just be this incredible journey with him and just getting a chance to spend time with him. And we ended up doing a medicine wheel ceremony, and then he ended up taking us to this place on a hike that we did where we ended up going to what was called the Shaman Caves. And just an outstanding experience. And I don't want to take the whole show talking about stuff because we just did another incredible experience with him last year where we did the Grand Canyon and Lake Powell and, you know, did some other tribal lands and ended up in Sedona with an incredible drumming ceremony in his backyard with, what was his name, Benny? Was it Three Trees?
That's correct. Yeah, he's really a world-class talent as a musician and a drummer, and that was a lot of fun.
So, Yeah, it was. We had probably about 20 people out by the campfire with a drumming ceremony. I mean, he showed up in his vehicle. He had like 20 drums in it. He had something with him, and I don't know if you know the name or not, Benny, but it looked like an upside down sled, and it was basically something that was a drum, and it was like a 4-year waiting list for him to get it. It was like the first time I had ever seen anything like that. There's a lot of them out now. They're the metal based. Upside-down
right.
drums with the hit marks in them.
I can't remember the exact name, but it's very similar to a steel drum. Kind of looks like a flying saucer. with dimples in it, and he's a master at playing this along with, he actually, Three Treats probably has 10 different instruments that he plays with mastery.
It was such a great experience. It was so funny because the police came. And apparently, because Benny lives down in this like little valley area, and with the drums and everything, they were echoing through the whole area. So apparently we upset somebody. So, you know, Benny had to go up there and, you know, calm the whole situation down when the police showed up. So
I got a laugh because they all know me. This is a very small town, and the Wilderness Canyon I live in, everybody knows everybody.
I just wanted to share that with you and Pam and the audience and everything, some of the experiences as far as my interactions with Benny. And with that, I'm going to hand it back to Pam because I know she wants to ask him about his background and all that great stuff.
Well, what a great story, Mark. And it makes me want to go to Arizona and to hang out for a while. I think probably most of our listeners would like the same thing. So Benny, tell me about you. How did you get to be the man that you are? How did you get involved with this? What sparked your interest and pulled you into this magical life?
Well, it's definitely a long and winding road, but from the time I was about 8 years old, I was a Cub Scout, and then I was a Boy Scout. My mom and dad were both involved in scouting. I attained the rank of Eagle Scout, and was also an accomplished distance runner, and went on to college, and pretty much had it in my mind that I wanted to be a national park ranger. And I was fortunate enough, or maybe ignorant enough, to think that it would just be easy. And as it turned out, it was for me. I got a job as a national park ranger right out of college in Bighorn Canyon, Montana. And I did a boat patrol on a 72-mile-long wilderness lake. And then I followed a girlfriend to Arizona. She was a park ranger. And got a job as a state park ranger in Jerome. And from there, I started to think about working in the private sector because I realized that if I continued in a government position, I could end up as an administrator. And I had such a passion and love for the outdoors. You know, and it was something that I grew up with. I grew up in the Adirondack Mountains. So even though I look at it as stumbling, bumbling along in life, and I did dozens and dozens of odd jobs in between working as a guide, I always came back to doing guide work, whether it was as a tour guide, doing archaeological and wildlife tours in Sedona here, working for other companies. And then around 1996, I kind of had a little epiphany, and I just started leading privately guided trips on my own. And that was the best decision I ever made. It was a big leap going from the security of a paycheck to the unknown. But I just got the most wonderful clients from little hotels and bed and breakfasts here, and that started the ball rolling for me. And I would get clients, some of them quite wealthy, who just say, Benny, we want to hire you for the next 2 weeks, and we just want you to take us everywhere. Take us to the Grand Canyon. Take us boating on Lake Powell. Take us all over Sedona. So that started my career, you know, really got my career going in the direction it is now, doing private guided custom trips. And that's evolved now into more what I call inspired adventures and incorporating Native American ceremony. I'm part Cherokee, which helps. And, that's the start.
So you said you are part Cherokee?
Yes, yes. My grandmother...
How much is... Okay.
I believe I'm an eighth. My grandmother, full-blooded, and she actually was born on a train on the way to Oklahoma somewhere in the late 1800s. The details are not clear because she died in childbirth when my mom was 3 years old. And my mom grew up in a little log cabin in Potlatch, Idaho. My grandfather was full-blooded Irish and never really talked much about that. So my sister, who's a research chemist, did some DNA research and found out indeed that the Cherokee blood was there, which is interesting because I never really gave it much thought. But when I look at when I came to Arizona, I immediately fell in love with the Hopi and the Navajo tribes and developed a lot of friendships on the reservation. And I'm very close with the Hopi family that I've known for more than 20 years in the oldest village in North America called Old Arabi, built somewhere around 1100 AD. So I've had these wonderful friendships and connections with Native people and kind of developed my own way of relating to people doing vision. I do what I call vision quests and medicine wheel ceremonies in my own way, not any specific Native American way, but incorporating a lot of the ideology of Native American peoples.
So, if you don't mind me asking, what's the difference between the way that you do a vision quest and the traditional way that an American Indian would do a vision quest?
Well, every tribe has their own specific ways of doing vision quests, but really the way that the Native American traditional vision quests are, such as some of the Lakota traditions, Sundance and others, they're really harsh, and they probably would not be either popular or really feasible for the average person.
Right.
So what I've done is I interview people. What I like to do is get people out in nature for a number of days, and I'm looking out for their safety. I'm always around and giving them days of silence and often very...
You're not throwing them into pits with snakes or anything?
No. The whole... My
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
But there are a lot of rituals that happen that would be, to the mainstream person, very harsh and very difficult. To me, the whole ideology is to gain some kind of insight, to create harmony and balance, to have a person leave feeling inspired, peaceful, and in love with nature. And so... I do get students who are more advanced and do things that are more advanced, but I like to get people on the road to their own self-discovery in a more easing into it way, because a lot of the clients that I get are people who are highly successful, have been there and done that with so many things, and they get into life and they just are kind of going, is that all there is? You know, material wealth, you know, success, what's next? And for a lot of people, it's making some kind of connection. And if you want to call that a spiritual connection, it's probably a good way to put it. And basically, I want people to feel good. And one of my mentors once said, feeling good and feeling God are only separated by 10.
Wow.
So,
do you believe in past lives, Benny?
I do. And what I like, I've always been a healthy skeptic when it came to anything that had to do with metaphysics or phenomena. So I think almost my entire life I've been curious and I've been passionate and experimenting. So I would say even though I don't know specifically of any past lives I've had, I just feel like I've had so many dreams and visions and so many spiritual experiences that I know for sure that I'm just carrying this body, that I'm a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. So I try to get this across to clients too, is there's so much information out there in the world, but what you want to do is authenticate it for yourself, make it real for you. You know, I like to get people to get from the place through experience, from a place of believing to a place of knowing. And I think the natural world is a wonderful place to do that.
I would agree with you. You know, there is a connectedness that happens when your energy expands. When you're looking at when you're standing at the top of a mountain or you're looking out over a lake and you have this huge space in front of you and the connectedness with the nature around that lake or over those hills and the expansion of space, the expansion of you, I should say, into the space generates such an amazing power that it's almost, it's very hard to fall back into believing you're this tiny little energy that you thought you were before. But, you know what I mean?
That's so beautifully said. Yes, I say what you've just said almost verbatim many times to people, you know, and I think what nature has a fantastic healing and therapeutic quality and expansion that happens depending on where you are. When you're out in an expansive place like an ocean or lake or desert, I don't think we can help. I think it's almost written into our DNA that you are so affected by your immediate environment that a lot of our feelings, a lot of our thoughts and behaviors are products of that.
Can I tell you a real quick story?
Yes, yes.
Several years ago, I lived in the country of Jordan in the Middle East. And while I was in Jordan, I had time. I had a maid. I had time for the first time in a long time. And I decided to write a book. And I wrote the book. I haven't published it. But the reason that I mention this is because I was waiting for something, and I didn't really know what I was waiting for. The protagonist in the book is a young boy who was half Indian and half Irish.
Mm.
And there's a drama in the beginning of the book where he's sent to the Middle East, and I spend a lot of time making correlations between the earth magic, the shamanism, the rituals, the ceremonies in a Native American culture with the Bedouins, which is the Middle Eastern culture. And, personal past lives, I've lived at least two past lives as an Indian. And I didn't realize when I talked to you on the phone a few minutes ago, when you started talking, I started pulling back all of these past lives pictures and incidents where I was walking with you. When, you know, we've never met before, but yet I feel like I've known you for many lifetimes. Anyway,
no,
I've never said that to anyone on the radio.
Well, it's interesting that the level of connection and comfort I felt immediately with you. And, you know, I believe, and I actually know this for myself, that you get to a point in evolution as soul where almost all the people you're meeting are people that you've had some kind of experience with before.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't know, like I couldn't say for sure about any specific past lives, there's just too much depth of knowing that occurs for it to be coincidence. In fact, even the word coincidence, I think, in our language should be synchronicity. And that everything
yes.
in life is synchronistic. It depends on how awake your consciousness is. The more awake you become, the more aware you become of all the interconnections of life and your interconnections with all people. And it's truly a beautiful thing.
Mm, you're right. That's well said. If we can change gears for just a minute, you mentioned to me that you also taught meditation and yoga.
Yes.
Is that something that you do locally? How was your practice set up?
Great, and I'll clarify that a little bit. I'm very passionate about my practice of yoga and meditation. My practice of yoga is relatively new in the last 5 years and really dedicated just recently. I mean, because my practice of yoga, the physical practice, which incorporates, of course, spiritual, was necessary for me to keep advancing as a meditator, to get deeper into my meditation, and I'm aspiring to become a Vedic meditation rishi through my close friend and the Maharish Yasanan, Tom Knowles, who's just an amazing, amazing guru. My plan is I'll be in India again for 3 months in a very intense 3-month program to become a teacher of Vedic meditation. And I'm just so passionate about it because if I could make an analogy of what meditation has done for me, if you thought of like a pool of water, a small pool of water, and imagine that water being you, and imagine in that pool of water there's a lot of sediment. It's all stirred up, and that's normal. A lot of silt and mud stirred up. And every particle of that silt and mud is a thought or a feeling that you have. And scientists and psychologists agree that we have tens of thousands of thoughts a day and many, many feelings. What meditation has allowed me to do is slowly settle that sediment, And it's a practice I do twice a day for 20 to 30 minutes. And as that happens, those thoughts and feelings kind of settle down and my pool becomes clear. And I'm the same person with the same mind and the same feelings, but there's a level of awakeness and clarity that's just nothing short of miraculous. It's like I'm still in this body, but I'm living in an entirely more blissful, happy, clear, relaxed world. And so I've become very passionate about wanting to share that with others, just as I have with my guide work. When someone asked me once, you know, what do you do for a living? And I just replied without thinking, I do what I love and I share it with other people. That was my answer. And so,
well,
however,
that's quite a mission statement, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. That just came out of my mouth years ago, and I remembered it. So I hope that's what I can do. I hope that's how I can share all the blessings that I've had in my life and adventures, you know, and inspire other people to expand and to grow.
That's wonderful. So could we go back to the Indian ceremonies and culture and wisdom and that sort of thing? I know that you've had friends, and you know, Mark mentioned, you've mentioned, you not only have friends with this one particular Indian family, but you've actually have made friends with many different Indian tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been privy to their ceremonies, been privy to their wisdom? Have you been involved with the way that they operate on rituals and the way they observe life?
Great question, and yes, indeed, I have. I've been very fortunate to attend many of the... when you speak about past lives, this is a little segue into that. The first, I really wanted to go up to the Hopi lands, and I knew from having heard that they did not allow outsiders, non-Indians, to come to their certain Kachina ceremonies, and this is about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this sign that said, non-white, you know, this is a private ceremony, big sign, in the Hopi mesas. And, of course, at that time I wasn't even really relating to my Cherokee background. But I just felt impelled. I'm a very sensitive person and would never encroach upon someone like that. But I went in anyway, and they sat me in front and center the ceremony and just lavished me with gifts. They set me between two elders. And that kind of was a start to many, many connections with the Hopi and Navajo and other Native American medicine men around the country. I've had several very close friends who are medicine men. And it has just been a tremendous learning experience. And one of the things I could distill into a lot of, you could say, Aboriginal, Native American, indigenous people around the world is they understand the connection between nature and magic. What one guru said once, I remember he said, all these things that we think are supernatural, they're just naturally super.
I like that. That's wonderful.
So that, I think there's a part of our soul, a part of our being that craves and needs nature, that needs beauty, that needs connection. And in fact, nature is very observer-dependent. When you, and this is true, I think, of everything in life, when you give gratitude and love to a tree, it gives it back. The natives understood that everything, including the planet, was a conscious, sentient being that had a soul and had an energy. And I think the more time you spend out of doors, the more you understand that.
That's really lovely. You know, if I could interject for just a second, you mentioned trees, and trees have always been sort of my thing as well. And there have been many times through my life where I've needed to find a place to be, a place to live. My husband and I moved to Paris. We've lived all over the world, and, you know, we were looking for a big house within our price range. In Paris, it was almost impossible to find. And that we went on looking for several days until I finally decided to do a meditation and connect to the trees and ask
Beautiful.
The trees to find me a house. Ask the trees to find me a house with this criteria. I needed so many bedrooms. I needed this budget. I would really like to have a garden. I mean, all of these things were completely outrageous for, you know, compared to the area. What I was asking for was ridiculous. And the next day, I found the house. And the house in Florida, where I live right now as well, I wanted a house with a huge, expansive lake behind me. And, you know, I just wasn't aware that there was anything around like that. And I found it because of the trees. You know, you go into a meditative state and then you just ask the trees. And it seems so like you're 3 years old, but it works.
That is such a beautiful story, because it really is an illustration of how we can have anything that we believe we can have. We can have anything that we, humankind only creates what we can imagine. And once we imagine something, it's amazing how things get created. And it's the reason why in the human mind, you'll have people that argue for their limitations as well. There would be a lot of people that would listen to your beautiful story, and I completely 100% can relate to that. And they'd say, oh, she's just crazy. She's a whack job, and that's just
it's
a bunch of BS.
It's probably true.
No, but, you know, it is true for someone who's had no experience and their belief system doesn't allow them to expand into that. But
mm-hmm.
when you continue to grow and expand, you learn that there's nothing that isn't possible. It's just a matter of aligning yourself with whatever it is that you want or need. And I just, it's one of the things that I love to teach. And part of the reason is I love to say I teach what I most need to learn.
That's wonderful. I do the same. Yeah, I do the same. If I feel like I'm in need of a certain lesson, I'll teach that lesson because it flows through me and you pick it up as you go.
That's beautiful. That's a great way to create anything, is to teach it.
That's right. It's true. I love that point of view. I'd like to break in for just a second, though, because it's 10:05, and Mark usually does, at the half an hour point, he usually does a little an ad for the Spiritual Connections Radio and whatnot. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I just been listening to the stories and everything like that, and just really enjoying it. I almost was like, let's just skip the ad today because I just love everything we're getting here. For everybody that's tuning in, you're listening to Pam Latour and Mark Rawson on Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about our radio shows and Pam's new radio network on our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Benny, go ahead and give out your website address so that people can find out how they can book one of these custom tours with you.
Great. They can either go to Stephen Benny Benedict on Facebook, or they can go to www.earthtours.com, and I'll spell that EARTHTOURS, Earth Tours. And I would love to hear from people. My passion is just making people's dreams come true, and I would love to lead people into nature and on the land, anywhere in the world, and invite you to call me. Thank you.
So I'll let Pam finish up her question, but after that, Benny, if you could just talk about some of the amazing tours you've done with people around the world. You know, we're thinking that we got you pegged into Sedona, but I know that you do stuff all over the world, so it'd be great to share some of your stories.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Hey, I only have one burning question left. I'm sure I could come up with a lot more, but the one question that I wanted to make sure that I asked you, Benny, is this concept of energy within nature. Now, I just told you a story about how I felt a specific energy that I connected to in the trees that you know, I know there's a lot of people, as you said, that would think that I'm a bit loony by thinking that way, but I've always approached life like I was 3 years old, because if you don't do that, you lose the magic. And
that
so
is
I guess
true.
Go ahead.
That is a beautiful point, and it's a very powerful spiritual point that many of the masters say you have to keep your childlike wonder.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give up being childish, which is immaturity, but keeping a childlike wonder, keeping that love, that open heart, that open mind, really allows you and opens you up to having fantastic experiences in life.
Well, I'm glad you agree with me because I think that's true. Do you, when you look at nature, when you walk in nature, when you are there either alone or with people in nature, do you get a sense of energy, specific energy in different types of plants and different mountains and different trees and different lakes? Do you think nature is broken down into individual energies, not the same as people are, but to a degree?
That's just a brilliant question, and no one's ever asked that, but this is how I would reply. Absolutely. Every single tree, every blade of grass, every flower, every raccoon and bear, everything is individual, and yet we are really oneness. Our minds make differentiation, and we are different. We're each individual sparks of a divine energy expressing that individuality, and yet at the same time, there's a complete oneness. There's really no separation. And it sounds to the mind like a paradox or even an impossibility, but it's something I know. And I love that question because if you approach the natural world that way, and you could say that even New York City is the natural world, it's the man-made natural world. Everything
mm-hmm.
carries a vibration. Everything has an energy. And you could say everything has a consciousness. And when you become aware of that, that's when the magic really begins. Because then you will start noticing how certain plants and animals actually respond to your response to them. And again, this is one of those things where I can just imagine some people I know would think, you know, oh, he's just completely gone off the deep end. He's a total whack job. And in their reality, they're absolutely right. But you have to, when you get to the point of awareness and you go from belief to knowing, you know, someone who's never rode a wave on a surfboard or skydived or, you know, been, you know, in a tornado, that they're not talking from personal experience. And I think it's a wonderful thing. It's one of the things that I love about my life. I'm very eclectic. I do go all over the world. I love that my work is different every single day, because I want to have as many experiences as I can, because really for me they're validations and they're affirmations of everything we're talking about.
So wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, you've reminded me of so many things that I knew that life pulls you away from. And so it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you for reminding me, Benny.
Yeah, you know, that's a wonderful point. I think in our modern days, you know, we have separated ourselves from nature and magic to the degree where a lot of people's lives are completely insulated from being out in the beautiful out of doors. And there's a great loss with that kind of, even if you're not ever conscious of it, it's there and it's present. There's a present, there's a life. You're surrounded by life and life energy. And unlike the human mind, plants and trees and animals, they're just present. We don't argue with trees. I've never known anyone who's had to get divorced from a tree or a puppy dog. There's a lot of things in nature that are unconditional love reflectors for us. And I think it's most people, when they come back from like a walk in the woods or whatever, there's like, sort of like that big sigh of relief and relaxation that happens, you know, and part of that is just feeling good again.
And that's, I think, the biggest message here, to feel good again, because if you can get yourself feeling good, slowly, slowly, that magic begins creeping back in.
It's so true, and I think one of the things, I've been very privileged in my career. I get a lot of celebrities, a lot of world leaders, a lot of billionaires. And when you talk about true wealth is happiness. And there are as many people who have all the material things or all the status and need just as much as everyone else that time that's peaceful, that time that's surrounded by nature. And I've watched a lot of my clients who are that way, clients that have it all. Some of their most wonderful moments and precious moments in life might be just a quiet walk in the woods.
That's lovely. Mark, you were asking Benny a little bit ago about stories of places he's been and things, and I'll let you take over from here for a little bit. Are you there?
Yeah, sounds good. So, Benny, I know that you've done a lot of different trips and everything like that. Can you share some of the stories of the excursions you've done outside the United States?
Sure. I've always had a curiosity and a passion for different places in the world, and most recently, India has been my latest love, but I've traveled all throughout. I started just throwing on a backpack with $100 in my pocket and heading down to Mexico when I was in my 20s, and never had any worries. You know, I had no backup, no backup money from family to rescue me. So I would just take off and travel. I would buy one-way tickets to Europe back in the days when you could do that and just make enough money to get home. I've been in New Zealand, Australia, all over, every state in the U.S., most of Mexico, and a lot of Central and South America. Now I'm starting to explore some of the Asian countries. But I've been very fortunate to lead a lot of trips to places like Costa Rica. I know I'll be leading a lot of trips to Australia and India in the future. A lot of them will be related to meditation. And I think it's very expansive to travel. And I think there are different ways to travel. If you just go to Holiday Inns, there's nothing wrong with Holiday Inns. They're perfectly wonderful. But if you just go to the places that you could go to at home, you're not really, you may be traveling, but you're not really adventuring. And my passion is to share that with my clients. I don't want people to go on a tour. I want them to have an experience. I want them to feel like an adventurer, and that's something I do when I travel on my own and travel to different countries. And it's almost like I can't get enough of it. I have a very long bucket list of places yet to go, even though I've been very fortunate to go to so many places around the world.
Excellent. I always like to ask this question and everything like that. And is, you know, what do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned so far in life? You know, from, you know, the different journey work and, you know, just working with people.
I think the single most important gift we ever get is happiness. If all of the material things that we might be surrounded with, I think happiness might be one indicator of how well life is going. And can you feel relaxed? The one thing that will replace fear is love. And one of my teachers once said, if I could give up fear, I'd never have to give up anything else. And I love that. So I would just hope that people are inspired and encouraged to stretch their wings a little more. Maybe even if you have to make an appointment with yourself for an hour, if you live in New York, to go walk in the park, you know, do something that inspires you and makes you happy. And then you get to share that with the world, because we are these little units of energy and consciousness. And we're a pool in the great ocean of life. And the happier and the higher your vibration is through happiness, you have an effect on you raise the vibration of the whole world. So that's my belief.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Excellent.
Benny, have you ever been in a place like a drum ceremony, for example, and you're in the drum ceremony and the drums are physically changing your body because they're changing the way that your body vibrates, the way that your body moves, and to the point that you actually move into a semi-trance state where you're looking at a fire and images begin forming? That's a pretty wild question, I know.
No, to me it's not wild at all. I've been on the borderline of that, and it's only because I haven't done a lot of drumming. But I remember watching a group of African drummers, and they drummed, I think, for an entire day. And I've seen it with the Hopi drummers and the dancers, where you go into that vibration, the energy, the drums or the instrument are a catalyst, and they help bring about a whole different consciousness, a whole different level of awareness. And the thing is that all those levels of awareness are there all the time. You know, in psychology, they talk about the subconscious mind. But in a lot of the Eastern beliefs, they have much more subtle awareness of all the different layers of reality. Everything exists all at once, all the time. It's like, what are we aware of? And I think those kinds of experiences, like a drumming circle and looking in a fire, they can be a place that gets you to a point of going, ah, there is something outside of my world, outside of my consciousness. There's ways to transport yourself into a different reality. And I think every reality exists all the time. It's just a matter of where are you putting your intention and where are you putting your attention. And but I loved just saying that. It took me right to a fire and a drum circle, and I really felt good.
You have a lot of, and I probably shouldn't tell you this on the radio, but you have a lot of ancestors around you. You've got a lot of support, spiritual support, and I don't know if anybody's ever told you that before, but that's why the Indian tribes pulled you in and sat you in the front. They recognized you, Benny.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, I have definitely come to realize that, and I sometimes will feel the presence and sometimes ask, like when I lead medicine wheel ceremonies, I'll ask for all the wise sentient beings and elders to join us. And when you do that, of course they're there. How aware you are of them, that's up to you. But I so love that you mentioned that, because we've got anything we need, we have to ask for it. And then we have to become aware of it. And it's very simple. It's not complicated.
That's right. It isn't complicated. And, you know, we lead such complicated lives, and I honestly believe that a lot of it is a level of mind. It's actually like a mind brainwashing, like a mind slavery with what we're taught to dream. You know, when we're young, we're 3, 4, 5 years old, we're so alive and so magical. We can do anything. We can be anything. By the time you hit 7, they've entrenched you. They've entrenched your mind how to dream. This is how far you can see. This is how far you can dream. This is who you are. This is where you have to pay attention in school. This is how life goes. And you lose so much of that magic that connecting to nature and connecting back to yourself simplifies it. You know, you already know how to balance your checkbook. You already know how to make money. You already know how to do these things. Going back to the simplicity of you is the most powerful thing there is.
That is just so beautifully said, you know, and I think the world is a difficult schoolhouse on purpose for soul. And one of the lessons we have to learn is how do we, as we get older, replace fear with love and get back to that place of childlike innocence where we're open to and aware of so much. You know, and of course you can go way beyond that as well, but it's one of the, I think, biggest challenges in our world and in our society is to let go of those things. I think almost anything that holds us back, if you get to the essence of it, it's fear-based. And the things that replace that are things that are love-based. If there's something that you love enough, you will pursue it and you will do it. And I think people in our world, you know, even if they just do little baby steps, if they're not happy with where they're at, if they're not living life with passion, to just start doing little things. It can be really simple. To get to slowly, just to prove to himself that there's a way to get back to that childlike wonder, that imagination, that creativity, and that ability to have whatever it is you want in life.
And I have one more question for you, Benny. If you could, and this is a very personal question, but hopefully it will take on a broader answer. If you could become anyone in terms of character, in terms of skill, in terms of ability, in terms of leaving a permanent legacy, who would you be?
That's a great question. And I could think of many wonderful answers to that. My first nudge was, I just want to keep becoming more of who I am. And
okay.
I have hundreds of wonderful and fabulous teachers and mentors. Probably one that I'm closest to is Guru Tom Knowles. There's a website, tomknowles.com, K-N-O-L-E-S. And he has been, one of the things I look at, being somewhat of a skeptic or wanting proof, is I've known Tom for many years, and I just watch how he lives what he talks. He walks his talk, and he lives with so much happiness and joy, and he's one of the most unconditionally giving people I've ever met. And I'm very grateful that I get to spend so much time with him, and he's truly a spiritual master. His spiritual name is Guru Vidasanan, and he travels all over the world. He teaches meditation, Vedic meditation, to many people, thousands, tens of thousands of people, including a lot of world leaders and celebrities and billionaires. So if I had to pick one person, that would probably at this point be it. But I would say, you know, there's just, you know, I love being inspired. I could make a list for an hour of all the people, all the individuals that have inspired me. But at the point I'm at in my life, I just want to be more of who I am.
So authenticity is a very high priority.
Absolutely. I think, you know, once you get past the fear of the good opinion of other people, the fear of, you know, we have some very basic primal fears, a lot of fear of not being loved, not being heard.
Excuse me.
Once you can get past some of those things, you can start becoming more and more of who you are authentically, because you just speak your truth, you speak from the heart, and you can kind of, I would say, live the life you've always wanted. Allow yourself to live the life you've always wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks a lot, Benny. It's been great having you on this show. And Pam, always great to have you on. You can find out more about Benny up on our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com, including his links and information about his background. And thanks a lot, Benny, and have a great night.
Thank you both so much. I love this. I was just a tad nervous because I've never done anything like this before. But Pam and Marky just made me feel so at ease. And it was a joy to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Benny.
life is but a dream.